Genesis 37. Thank you. All right, here we go. Genesis 37. You may be seated. Genesis 37. Please, is it going? Thank you. Thank you for keeping the spirit of Hiles Anderson College what it is. And tomorrow, you'll have a chance of a guest speaker. And save it for tomorrow. Have a good time with Brother Miller tomorrow. That'll be great. Thank you very much. Genesis 37, please. Genesis 37 in your Bibles. At just a few moments today, but I want to conclude a message that we started last week about the attitudes and the attributes of a dreamer. The attitudes and attributes of a dreamer. Genesis 37, verse number 5. Would you read it with me if you would, please? And once you get there, if you've got it, would you say amen? Yeah. Good. If you're still looking for it, would you say nothing and find it real quickly, all right? Here we go. We're Genesis 37, verse number 5. Let's read it together. Can we please? And Joseph dreamed a dream. Our Father, please help us. We share a few moments today from your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for the many hundreds of times in these last 48 years that someone has stood here and shared your word. Thank you for giving me this chance today. Thank you for these wonderful young people. I love them and so grateful for our new students that have joined us this semester. So grateful for the longevity and the return of many of our students who are continuing on their degree and seeking to find a place in your service one day. Thank you, Lord, for their busyness now. Protect them and help them. Protect them from the pitfalls will be in our path. I pray you please have mercy upon us and help us. Pray you bless me today. Help me to share things that will be valuable and helpful to them at this stage of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 37 is the beginning. Now we see the young man Joseph. He's 17 years old. He has got a dysfunctional family. His dad has children with four wives. He's probably 17. His little brother is 3-4 years old. His mother dies when giving birth to his little brother Benjamin. And so now he doesn't have a mom. His mom is gone to be with the Lord. She's been buried and no longer the life. Someone's probably taking care of his little brother. But he is definitely a treasured young man. He is wearing a coat of many colors, which his father put on him as a sign of the fact that he is more valuable to his dad than all of his other brothers. All of his brothers over here, Joseph here, his dad walks away with Joseph, loves him. And he is a very special person. He'll be used of God in a special way. He, like David, receives a dream, if you will, and a calling at a young age. He's 17. David is probably a young teenager when he is pulled off the shepherd fields of Judea and made a king of Israel. But both of them have the similarities in that from the time that they received their dream or their calling or their impulse, their provocation to do something for God that they know that's going to happen, there's a lot of time between that. There's 13 years for Joseph, probably about the same amount of time for David. And there's a dream going on. God gives him a dream. Now, he probably makes a mistake of sharing his dream with his brothers. I think you can't find too many negative things about Joseph, but if I would say there are probably two things negative about Joseph, I would say, number one, he shared his dream too soon. He probably could have kept his mouth shut. Probably could have said, okay, this is what God told me to do, and do what Mary did. She pondered all these things in her heart. Sometimes the place or situation you might do, you might not need to go tell everybody your dream. That's just my opinion. It may not be something that God does not give a rebuke on that, but certainly it pours salt in the wounds of brothers who are already frustrated with their dad for the partiality he has toward him. So that would be another thing. I think another thing that would probably be applicable for us today is that when he knew there was a wicked woman, a strange woman that had his attention, he probably played with that far more than he should. He wasn't careful. And if you want to be casual in your Christianity, you will be a casualty. You've got to be alert. That's why the Bible says be sober, be vigilant, be aware, for your adversary the devil is a roaring lion. The announcement I gave you this morning earlier is a challenge for you to be sober, to be vigilant, to be careful. And for Joseph to walk in there when there were no other men there with a woman that he knew that had less than pure motives was probably playing with a temptation that cost him a lot of time. Now, God knows how to work all that out, but be careful. I think those are the only two things that come to my mind that I would say Joseph maybe should have had a little more wisdom on in his decision making. But that's not my message. My message is he's a dreamer. God had given him a dream, and the dream would not be fulfilled until years later. Young people, if we fast forward 13 years from today, how old are you? If you're 20 years old, you'll be 33. If you're 17, you'll be 30. By the time you're 30, you probably are going to have a couple little kids. I just saw one of our graduates, Brother Jared and Becky Stevens. They're here graduated from our college. She is two, and they have a little boy, 2 years old, Michael. And he came into my office with him on his shoulders, and I got to meet them and see them. And of course, just a few years ago, they sat right over here on my left-hand side. And Becky drove a bus for our bus ministry, and Jared was very faithful in the work of the Lord, and now he is serving the Lord in St. Louis, and it's neat to see that. But just so quickly, I thought, my goodness, look at this little boy. I remember when you were just together, just in the early days of their marriage, and now they have a baby, and now they're doing things for the Lord. And boy, pretty soon, 13 years from now, many of you, I was 13 years from the time I was sitting here, I was a pastor of a church in Long Beach, California, at the age of 32. I never thought that that was going to be where I would be. Now, there were a little bit of glimpses. Occasionally, I would sit in a service, or I was in the Lord would impress my heart, John, maybe one day you'll be doing that. I remember sitting here never thinking I would ever stand behind this pulpit, not quite frankly, not wanting to. I remember coming here on a vacation one summer, and I came with Linda, and we came with Tyler and Derek and Preston. And when Preston, they were all just little guys. We have a picture because we were taking a walk on the campus, and I went out there and showed them where I proposed to Linda out there by the swing over here by the lake. And many times I'd take walks with her out there. And one day I took a walk and told her a story about this little guy that was born. And then a year later, another little girl was born, and they didn't know each other. And I was the oldest of six. She was the youngest of four. I told her a little story and how the God wanted. And I told him that little boy fell in love with that girl, and he couldn't stand thinking about it. He's so tired of saying goodbye at night. He wants her to live with him. But I can't know the rest of the story. But he does have a ring. He wants to ask you, will you finish the story? And she said, yes, I'll finish that story. Yes, I will. And she put it on her hand. And boy, I remember telling the kids that story as we walked out there. And then we came right here. And we just all sat down at the front there and got another student that was here that summer to take a picture of us. On the thing. I didn't even think about coming up here. I did not want to come up here because I just thought I'd be terrified to be here. But I did not know that. But there was a few times probably as I sat in this room, I thought maybe, boy, I would be so nervous if someone asked me to speak. I would be so scared. I don't know if I could do that. But God puts dreams inside of us. There are things that God has for you that are in your future. But I do believe there are attributes and attitudes that dreamers need to have. Or we see it at least in the life of Joseph. We see it in the life of David. We see it in the life of Moses. We see it in the life of the Lord Jesus and in John the Baptist and in the Apostle Paul. And by the way, anyone God uses, there's going to be a dream and there's going to be time that's going to go by. A couple of attitudes we need to have, and I gave them to you last time, is the first attitude is the attitude of love in spite of rejection. You're going to have love. And we talked about that old glorious love. Know that God loves you. Reciprocate that love to Him. Then love other people. Even though you feel rejection. Okay? You're going to have faith in spite of problems and difficulties. The difference between the factors between a dream and a fulfillment of a dream that God has for you. By the way, it's not a dream to be rich. Don't labor to be rich. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything you will need will come to you. You'll be all right. God will take care of you. Some of us, we're just, you know, God says you can't serve God and mammon. And I'm telling you that right now, listen to me. All of us can be we can worship money. Don't do that. Trust the Lord. You're going to have faith But two factors between your dream and your reality of your dream is going to be time and trouble. You're going to have time. It's going to take time to develop. And there's going to be some problems. There's going to be some setbacks. Some difficulties are going to come. So we need love to counteract rejection. We need faith to counteract the problems. And then I think the other thing we will need is we're going to need to have perseverance, though being misunderstood or experiencing setbacks. Perseverance. Just keep on going. Don't stop. Say, I'm a junior, but I think it's the hardest year of my life. Keep on going. One step at a time. I'm a sophomore. Man, it was so much easier my freshman year. Now I'm too far from the beginning to get excited. I'm too far from the end to be excited. And I'm right here in the middle of no man's land, and I just don't see any end in sight. And what I see a light at the end of the tunnel, but it's a freight train coming right for me. Hey, keep on going. Keep on going. Put one foot in front of another. Just continue on. Continue on. There's going to be some trouble, some difficult times coming your way. But the attitude of a dreamer is love, faith, and perseverance. Can you say it with me? Boy, you guys learned quickly. Let's say it one more time. That ought to be something maybe you get on your knees this afternoon and say, God, give me love. Give me faith to believe you. I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. And then give me perseverance just to keep on going, to keep on pushing forward. Give me the strength to go another step, to deal with my roommate another time, to deal with my situation, to go through that class, to continue on, to when I'm tired and frustrated, what do? I just got to keep on going. God, give me the strength for the next step. The Lord's going to help you. That is three attitudes of a dreamer. Four attributes of a dreamer. I want to give them to you quickly in a few moments we're together. Number one, you'll need to learn to wait on the Lord. You'll need to learn to wait on the Lord. While Joseph's in the prison, he's in the prison of delay, twiddling his thumbs and thinking, I know I can do more than just serve prison meals and oversee a prison. This is nothing. God has gifted me. I don't know. I'm not all that, but I do know I'm made to do more than this. And may I tell you, you're made to do more than just go to college. That bus route is a preparation for your future. There is a classroom, there is a people, there's a youth group, there's a mission field, there's someplace waiting for you. And you need to be prepared for that, but you need to learn to wait on the Lord. Some of you think, man, Pastor, I am in a junior year and I'm not even dating anyone yet. I don't have that relationship. I see some of them and I'm happy for my other friends. They're going on, but it's not coming in for me. Wait on the Lord. And every time you think about it, pray. Think about it. When you think about it, when you're anxious or worried about that, take that care and make it prayer. Add thanksgiving. Know that God has something for you. And for you precious girls, that's a challenge for you because every girl longs for significance and security. Every young man longs for that too. We want to have the matter to somebody. And we want to have the security to know that somebody cares about me, is going to take care of me. That's not wrong. That's right. And that comes through love. And, of course, all that needs to come from God first. If you'll be satisfied from God, saying, God, I matter to you. And I'm okay as long as you're my God. You're going to take care of me. But God's going to, for most of you, very few of you, will live your life single. Marriage is the rule. Singleness is the exception. Now, there are some who have the gift to be single, and that's God's plan for them. And that's all right. It's all a gift. It's a gift to be married. The Bible says if you find a man, finds a wife, he has found a good thing, obtained favor of the Lord. A prudent wife is from the Lord. It's a gift from God. Marriage is a gift. Singleness is a gift. Most of you will not be single the rest of your life. A few of you will, but most of you will not. And if you are, you can be happy and satisfied in whatever God has got for you. You're only live here for a few more years, and then you're going to see Jesus and live with him forever. But in the meantime, you want to wait on the Lord. Don't rush. Don't rush. Don't get anxious. Don't get frustrated. Wait on the Lord. We are very prone to want something quick. What we want right now, hurry up, get it here quickly. All of us have it in us. But the attribute of a dreamer is he must learn to wait. While David was running around being chased by the man he was going to replace, You know, he's in there playing the guitar, playing the lute, playing his harp for the king. And he looked around the palace and he knew God had already confirmed he's going to live in this palace. He's playing over here, the king's palace and the king's chair is over there. One day he's going to sit there. God's already given him that knowledge. But he had to wait. He had to play. He had to sing. He had to dodge some javelins. He had to be chased like a dog. And eventually he finds himself drooling on his beard, acting like a madman in a weak moment, trying to find some favor with the enemies, the Philistines. It got really bad for a while there. But the time to wait on the Lord, God always has his eye on the thermometer and his hand on the thermostat. He knows how hot it's getting in your life. He knows the difficulties that come. And there's not a temptation or a trial taking you, but such is common. Whatever your problem is today, millions of people have gone through that. And God's helped them. No, but you don't know. No, I don't know. But God knows, and millions of people have gone through it with a lot less support than you've had. And that you will have. God can help you do it. If it's overcome a failure, if it's overcome a habit, if it's being patient in a problem, you can do it. I can do all things through which strengthens me. You'll need to learn to wait in the Lord. Number two, you'll need to learn lessons where you are now. An attribute of a dreamer is he must learn lessons where he is at the present time. You can't just say, you know, when I get there, I'll learn that. No, learn it today. I believe I could tell you lessons I am learning today that I will use if the Lord lets me be 53 years old, 55, 60 years old. I'm learning things today. Brother Collins would probably tell you things that he has learned this month or this year, and so would Brother King and Brother Douglas. But the truth of the matter is, especially during this season of life, you guys need to learn your lessons when you're young and dumb. Forgive me for that last part. Hey, there are some things that you got to learn now. You got to say no to that flirtatious young person at work. You got to say no to these things, these temptations, this cute little text that has an air of sensuality to it. Hey, hold on a second. We're not going there. We're not doing that. We crossed the line here. You got to learn your lessons there. David had to learn lessons. Joseph had to learn lessons. Lessons of setbacks. You know, I wish that every day was a sunshine day, but it's not. You got your storms. You've got your difficulties that come. They're going to come, and you got to learn lessons then. Number three, we've got to learn to wait on the Lord. We've got to learn lessons where we are. We've got to learn to work without laziness or excuses. You got to learn to work hard. One of the greatest attributes of God's servants is their hard work. Laziness is a scourge of the ministry. Listen, when you don't make your bed in the morning, don't blame anybody else but you. It's a character flaw. It's a laziness problem. Work hard. You say, Pastor, my who cares about my room? You know what? Your office will look just like your room one day. An unsaved businessman comes there and sees this junk and thinks, this guy's supposed to be a pastor? He can't even move in this office. It smells, the trash is overflowing, all the things going on. It'll be a reflection of the Lord. And you think you can have a dump for a dorm room, and all of a sudden one day someone's going to pick up and say, oh, you know, I admire this person. No, they're not. And it goes back to W-O-R-K. It's not a curse. Work is not a curse, but we just need to learn to work hard and without laziness and without excuses. I don't know who said it, but I like to repeat it. People that are good at excuses are not good at anything else. People every time, oh, you know, it's not fair. You know, I didn't happen to me. Well, because I was the way I was raised, and there's this, and I didn't grow up that way. All that stuff is junk. You can do anything you're supposed to do and quit making excuses. Well, I'm so tired. Everybody's tired. Nobody is caught up. Unless it was your first day you came back from Christmas break. Then you can wait for summer, okay? Hey, listen, there's going to be problems, going to be issues. Learn to work hard without excuses, without laziness. One of the great blessings of working here at First Baptist Church of Hammond and this ministry is the hard-working people that God has given us here. People who work hard are a blessing to multitudes around them. People that are lazy sap the strength and the esprit de corps out of an organization. Don't be that person. You know, you say, well, I've got roommates. You got roommates. Keep your room clean for their sake. Care about someone beside you. Take care of that. Do your laundry. Work out time. Figure out things. Your assignments. Decide what you're going to do and start getting them done early. Don't wait until the last of April to start cramming. Find out what your reading is. Start going there. You guys are in New Testament survey. You got to read through the New Testament. You guys, those of you who are in missions, you got to read the book of Acts. Some of you should have already done that. You read 4 chapters a day, 7 days, that's done. That's checklist off. That's done. That's 20% of your grade. Having your outside reading done. Don't wait and later on then have to lie. You don't have to lie, but you choose to lie. So, well, yeah, I think I listened to it. I'm pretty sure I read it. I read a lot of verses this semester. No. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Don't make excuses. And then lastly, and I can't give the time I need to get to this, our time is up, but I would encourage you not only learn to wait on the Lord, learn to learn lessons now. Where you are, where God has put you. Learn to work hard without laziness and excuses. And then learn to walk with the Lord yourself. There are some lonely days being you. But you'll only be lonely if you're not walking with the Lord. You need to walk with God. It combats the loneliness of ministry or of life. And when you walk with the Lord and you develop that walk with the Lord yourself, it doesn't have to be I'm going to say something a little bit off the grid here. I think it's great to have an hour devotions, but sometimes it's just not feasible in some days. But walking with God is feasible every day. You can meditate on the scriptures. You can fall on your knees and say, God, please help me with this. You can speak to the Lord instead of putting AirPods in your ear and listening to music. You can say, when you want to grab your phone and troll through your Facebook page, you can say, you know what, that can wait. Let me spend time in intimacy with God. You can do that. I wish to tell you, boy, every day I spend uninterrupted 2 hours of time with the Lord, and I should probably. I should get up a lot earlier and do that a lot more. But I will tell you that every day I have to spend time with the Lord, or I'm going to be a casualty. And I thank God for uninterrupted time, but not every day do you have blocks of time. There are sometimes you have to just walk with God. It's a walk. It's a walk. It's a daily walk. And so walking from your dorm room to your car, it's 2 minutes. Spend time with the Lord. Talk to Him. Listen to the scripture on your phone. When you wake up in the morning, maybe turn that on instead of trying to look and see who texts you through the night. Maybe you ought to just spend some time listening. Today I spent time reading half the book of the Revelation and 1st and 2nd, 3rd John and Jude and just thinking about those passage scriptures. Thinking about other passage scriptures I'm going to preach on next week and that kind of thing. But it needs to be time with the Lord. And I want to encourage you with that. While you're young, attributes of dreamers, they walk with They work hard. They learn where they are. And then they learn to wait on the Lord. Let's pray together. Can we please? Father, bless, I pray, the conclusion of chapel. I thank you for the chance to be with us and to work in this time. Please work in our student body. In Jesus' name, amen.